Track 6. This is Brian Gall back here at the Sports Desk to bring you the latest news this week. Starting as usual with the local results and topics, where the headlines this week must belong to Stourbridge Rugby. Yes, they've won a match, their first win after 6 successive defeats. On Saturday, they won by 26-15 at the Preston Grasshoppers, the bottom of the league team, who look certain for relegation at the end of the season. In the circumstances, a match Stourbridge would always be expected to win. But after the last few weeks? Victory was not all that plain sailing. Preston scored first and led by 10-7 at half-time. But a reinvigorated Stourbridge side carried the second half, even although they only made sure of taking the lead in the closing minutes. Then another try provided them with a bonus point for scoring 4 tries in the match. In terms of possession and territory, the win might have been clearer cut, but doubtless confidence was at a low ebb after recent results. Supporters will be hoping for a positive end to the season, starting with the visit of Otley to Stourton Park this Saturday. The local rugby team's victory was about the only bright sporting news in the town on Saturday evening, the biggest disappointment being that Glass Boys, their soccer counterparts, had lost their home fixture against Grantham by 2-1. This was a huge blow to the local side, ravaged by injuries to key players as they are, as they endeavour to hang on to the promotion playoff scramble. Grantham, who have hopes of being in that scramble themselves, took the lead after just 3 minutes on Saturday. One player who has escaped the injury mayhem at Stourbridge is Luke Benbow, the top scorer amongst all the teams in this league, and he was on the money again a few minutes later. He took a free kick from just outside the Grantham penalty box and fired a screamer into the top corner of the net with the keeper helpless. Moments later, Stourbridge thought they'd taken the lead, but the goal was ruled out for offside. It remained locked at 1-1 until half-time, but literally within seconds of the restart, Grantham went ahead again, and that was how it remained. The home side's makeshift outfit were unable to penetrate a resolute defence, and the match ended in frustration for a big home crowd. The only good thing to come out of it from a Stourbridge perspective was that Nantwich, who sit immediately above them in second place in the league table, also managed to lose at home on Saturday, so were only able to maintain a single point advantage ahead of the Glass Boys, but the other teams behind had the opportunity to make up ground on the pair of them. Stourbridge will be grateful to Hales Owen Town, who forced a 1-1 draw at Spennymoor Town on Saturday. Spennymoor are possibly the biggest threat of all, 4 points behind Stourbridge in the league table, but with no fewer than 3 matches in hand. It doesn't get any easier for Stourbridge. Looking at the fixture list, their next 3 league matches are all away from home, starting on Saturday with a visit to Buxton. And while we're talking about teams seeking promotion, there was a heavy blow on Saturday for the Stourbridge Lions, the amateur rugby side who also play at Stourton Park. They had a key fixture at home against Camp Hill, currently 3rd in the league table. I remember saying a couple of weeks ago that if Lions won that match, they'd be virtually assured of promotion. Well, they didn't win it, and the race to finish the season in top spot is wide open once again. They were beaten by 21-12. Camp Hill have closed to 3 points behind, and the other promotion rivals, Leek, are 4 behind, but with a game in hand. Leek will be the visitors at Stourton Park on Saturday week, and a home win that day has become absolutely essential. There was no domestic soccer in the Premier League nor Championship at the weekend due to all the World Cup qualifying matches being played throughout Europe. Even Walsall in League One had the day off. England faced Lithuania at Wembley. Goals from Jermaine Defoe in the first half and by Jamie Vardy midway through the second were sufficient to give England victory and cement their position at the top of their group of 6 teams, where they now have a 4-point lead over second-place Slovakia. England have won 4 of their 5 matches so far and have drawn the other one and have yet to concede a goal in the tournament. The weekend was the halfway point in the fight to qualify for 2018's World Cup, 5 matches played out of 10 and the next being due in June when England meets Scotland at Hampden Park. Scotland seem unlikely to provide serious opposition. They stuttered to a 1-0 home win against Slovenia on the same day and they lie 6 points behind England in the qualification table. Of the other British Isles teams in action at the weekend, Wales and the Irish Republic fought out a goalless draw, while Northern Ireland beat Norway 2-0. I promised you last week a report on the opening fixture of the Speedway season for the Wolverhampton Wolves, a match that took place on Monday evening at the Monmore Green Circuit against the Poole Pirates. Wolves finished last season as champions of the old Elite League and with a largely unchanged squad of riders this year. This opening match was not a league fixture, but the opening round of the Elite Shield competition, raced on a home and away basis, with the return leg at the Poole track tonight, Wednesday. That being the case, it was essential for the Wolves to win on their own track and take a points advantage into the return. That they did, winning by 50 points to 40, but it was a close contest all evening, and only in the latter stages did the home side pull significantly ahead. That old war horse, Freddie Lindgren, along with Jacob Torsell, led the way, but throughout the Wolves team there were solid performances, and the team manager, Peter Adams, felt satisfied that the 10-point advantage from this opening leg gives Wolves enough to defend in the return match. News of that next time. At the same time on Wednesday evening, the Cradley Heathens will be starting their 2017 Speedway season with a home match against King's Lynn in the National League, which is the third level of professional speedway in this country. Home match in this case means at the Perry Bar track of the Birmingham Brummies, since Cradley don't have a track of their own and they share the season between Perry Bar and Wolverhampton. There are four new faces in the Cradley lineup as the new season starts, and the team will likely miss Max Clegg, who now seems to be a permanent member of the Wolverhampton team. At one time, the Heathens ran away with the National League year after year, but that was a few seasons ago, and they found it much tougher more recently. One to keep an eye on this summer, I think. Of course, the eyes of the motorsport enthusiasts throughout the world were not focused on the British speedway scene last weekend, but on the opening Formula One Grand Prix race of the year, the Australian race at Melbourne. I was telling you last week that the Ferrari team had looked competitive in pre-season testing, and they carried that through into the practice sessions at Melbourne, although Mercedes, led by Lewis Hamilton and his new sidekick Valtteri Bottas, had qualified for the race in first and third positions respectively. This year, the cars are bigger, quicker, and mounted on even more enormous tyres. Tyre wear was the problem. Hamilton kept complaining over the radio to his team in the pits during the race, and after just 18 laps, he came in to change them. Not a good decision. Ferrari and Sebastian Vettel took advantage, especially when the British driver emerged back onto the racetrack in heavy traffic and had trouble wending his way past slower cars. By the time he did, Vettel was free and away. The German driver controlled the race thereafter and took the checkered flag at the finish, Ferrari's first win in an age. They had none at all last year. Hamilton had to be satisfied with second place and was followed home by his teammate Bottas in third. Good, I say. It'll be excellent for the sport of Formula One if there are competitive races and no certainty about which team is likely to win week after week. Next race is in China in 2 weeks. Britain's Davis Cup tennis team are due in France in 10 days' time for a quarter-final match in this year's competition, but they'll turn up minus world number one Andy Murray, whose elbow injury is worse than originally feared. In fact, he may miss much of the action during the entire month of April. The injury may have contributed to his poor showing in the Indian Wells tournament in California a couple of weeks ago and caused him to withdraw from the current one in Miami. Our team to face the French in the Davis Cup will consist of Kyle Edmund and Dan Evans in the singles matches, with Jamie Murray to play doubles with Dominic Inglot. The French squad is still to be announced. Coming back to the current tour event in Miami, only Johanna Konta is left to carry the flag for Britain. She has made her way through to the quarter-final, where she's due to play Simona Halep of Romania. Edmund, Evans and Heather Watson all lost their first-round matches, and Alias Bedene was forced to retire from his due to illness. Sunday coming sees this year's Oxford versus Cambridge boat race. It always amuses me that millions of people in this country who have absolutely no connection with either university still tune in and watch this event on television year after year. I am one of them. For some reason, I am totally unable to explain, I support Oxford. Maybe because they're trailing in the long history of the event, which goes back to 1829. Oxford have won 79 times, Cambridge lead with 82 wins. The women's event doesn't go back nearly as far. The pair of them began to fight it out in 1927, and Cambridge lead here as well, but by a bigger margin, 41-30. I shall be hoping Oxford can even it up a bit this weekend. Nowadays, we get a double helping with both races on the same day and both covered on BBC One starting at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. But that's all from the Sports Desk this week. Back next time. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.